Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for February 9th. It's day two of the live feeds for Big Brother Celebrity CBBUS BB Celeb, all of that nice hashtag goodness. I am here with John Krause to give you an update on everything that's happening on the feeds. How you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me, Taryn. I got to say, now that I know who Joshua is, you told me what that is a few minutes before we went live. I feel like I actually understand the season a lot better. I've been thinking that there's like a secret 12th member of the house that like is invisible to me.
Well, there were rumors.
Now I know.
House guest, and it was probably Joshua. For those that don't know, Joshua is James. It's a Twitter thing. But yes, we are here to tell you everything that's been happening on the feeds. And wow, let me tell you, I am not used to so many things happening on the feeds. I spent basically all of last summer having like nothing, maybe one thing happening, maybe an argument, maybe what are you going to do? But for the most part, there's nothing happening. And I'm just like, I'm just chilling. I'm just talking to you guys. Like, this is what could happen. But last night things happened. Things are happening and I don't even know where they're going.
You know, if you want to see a little bit of how the sausage is made, at least from my perspective, like last summer, I'll be honest, there was a few times where you, Taryn, were like, hey, do you want to do the live feed update tomorrow? And I was like, yes, definitely. And like, especially mid-summer, I was like, I can watch like maybe 10 minutes of the feeds and like, I'll know. That was my homework. And that's not going to work this time around. That's definitely not going to work. Like things are happening. Things are changing. And I have to say, I love that like, basically everyone is playing, like even, and we'll get into it over the next, you know, half hour or so, but like even people that aren't playing are kind of playing. I'm talking about meta. And so like, it's crazy. It's so great to have a house that isn't just yes men and women.
Yeah. I mean, even last night on the episode, when we saw Chuck go in for that power, like that is something that nobody in Big Brother 19 was willing to do. So,
absolutely. Chuck has been a surprise too. He did another thing on the show last night too, where he was like, you know, we need to, you know, it was him, at least as we saw it on the edit from the show last night. He was the one who was like, we need to kiss up to the girls because they're the ones in power. And just being against them isn't going to work because 4 into 7 doesn't work. And like, you know, that's
better math process.
Right. And so like, you know, that's not necessarily like God tier strategy, but it's more than I expected from Chuck, you know, no offense, Chuck. And it's more than we saw last season entirely. So it's been such a treat.
Yes. So we are live on YouTube on the Rehapups page, and you can find us on robiswebsite.com. There's a chat room there. If you want to talk with us. Lots of fun stuff happening here. So let's get into this. We left off yesterday, last night. Brandy had gone crazy, and that was basically what had happened last night. She had talked a little bit about Shannon. She had revealed some information about Shannon to the guys. Shannon wasn't very happy about it. Omarosa and Keisha were talking early this morning, or yesterday morning, sorry, about what had happened with Brandy. And she's probably was over exaggerating, you know, that Brandy, she just wants screen time. But it leads to a conversation about Shannon. And Shannon is really the focal point of the day, where yesterday it seemed like maybe she was a little bit on the edge of this all girl alliance, maybe playing a little bit too hard. But today it just really came to the forefront. And it starts here with this conversation. They're talking about how, man, Shannon is talking to everyone. She is starting to worry us. And this again, this is like the seed that kind of grows out for the rest of the day here, John.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say that I have it on good authority that the Farmers Market Association has a pending lawsuit on Brandy, so that we should be watching the news for that in the near future. Big things happening there.
Hey, squashes can't consent. That's all I'm saying.
It's a very serious issue. But yeah, either way, Shannon, she was a lot of people's top pick. I know that she went, I think, first in the official LFC draft or second. And like, I was definitely very high on her. If you look at a lot of the preseason polls of who people thought were going to do well, it was like, you know, Shannon was one or two sort of going away. And one of the reasons everyone thought that is because she's like, you know, this big super fan. And she was the one who talked sort of in those preseason interviews with the most knowledge of the game. But we're seeing what we've seen in previous non-celebrity editions of the show, where these super fans, they kind of get in the house And it's like there's just too much candy on the table and they don't know how to stop. Shannon is really overplaying her hand a lot here. And it's funny because, yeah, like Brandy has been the one that's sort of been acting out, and she's the one who's been spilling those secrets because, you know, she's getting into the wine. And really, that could be a bad thing for her. But underneath the veneer of Moscato, Brandy actually has a pretty good sense of like how to handle things. And so what could have been disaster for Brandy has sort of almost turned into this disaster for Shannon, where Shannon kind of overplayed her hand in talking too much about Brandy talking too much. And like the PR has shifted. And so, yeah, I think going forward, Shannon is someone to watch out for someone who's not going to make it a lot farther.
Yeah, I really do think that, you know, part of what happened here with Shannon is that getting so worried about Brandy blowing up your spot kind of lets people know that you had a spot to be blown up with, right? Like, it concerns people. Like, why are you getting so nervous? Like, you usually don't get that paranoid and that worried unless you feel like you have a bunch of strings going everywhere.
Well, definitely. I think that it's and this applies to real life outside of Big Brother, but it's if you're the kind, if you get super embarrassed or defensive about something, it's because, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. People who just say false things about you, if they're completely false, then you're just like, well, that whatever, that's not true. But like if there's even a nugget of truth in there, that's when you start to get super, super defensive. So yeah, Shannon, by being like, why is Brandy doing this? Why is Brandy doing this? That is putting in people's heads, like, maybe there is some truth there. Maybe yes. There is some seeds in that pumpkin, so to speak.
And, you know, this may have just been talk, but Shannon really starts to fan this flame. They briefly got a chance to tweet in the house. It didn't really amount to much. They basically tweeted like, hey, we're in the house. Follow all of us.
Right.
It was boring.
Although we'll see, you know, so this, there's been talk, and we're going to get into it in a few minutes, I'm sure, about like maybe there will or won't be a flip. And you can never discount like one nugget of information. And as you guys said in the previous podcast, like this is when the whole house learned that James has right. The most followers out of anybody. And I don't, you know, people like Ross and Shannon, who have a really good knowledge of the game, they probably know that at some point during the season, there will be some sort of a fan vote. At some point, we don't know when, but we can safely predict that. And so, like, you know, if you have 3 million followers, you know, that's some pretty good fan vote potential. And so, well, you know, they're going to be deciding tomorrow or tonight, rather, you know, who to vote out. That could be a piece of the puzzle.
James is a social media mogul. So
an actual Shannon, social media mogul, though.
I mean, it's only 3 times as much as Frankie had. I mean, it's not like it's that much more. Shannon talks to Omarosa, and this is where she really starts to get into trouble, or, you know, starts to pull away to her own benefit, depending on how this turns out. She's talking to Omarosa about Keisha. She's starting to be worried about Omarosa's relationship with Keisha. They seem to be getting very close, which is, you know, she's caught on to this. Like, Omarosa was talking to Keisha about Shannon not a few hours before. So she's on to something, but she's confronting Omarosa directly about it, and asking, like, what's going on? Like, what is your relationship with Keisha? Do you have some sort of alliance? And Omarosa, I was a little confused about this response, because again, Omarosa is being a little bit upfront here, basically telling Shannon, you know what? You know, Keisha and I have a cultural bond, and we've agreed that we're not going to turn on each other because, you know, we want to stick to that. And, you know, I'm probably never going to put Keisha on the block or vote her out, because that's just the way, like, I want to operate in this game. That's the way that I want to portray myself. And Shannon was like, oh, okay. Sounds good. Sounds like something that I'm very happy about. You know, I was very confused about why Omarosa would be so upfront about this, John.
Omarosa is playing a very interesting game, and I have to say that she's been a big surprise for me. I was not looking forward to her being on the show. I kind of subscribed to Rob's theory that she was going to be kind of a dud, but she's been absolutely captivating, and she's doing a lot of really interesting things. She's definitely doing this whole PR thing in the house. I think she's trying to rehabilitate her image inside the house and outside. And she's doing, you know, she's pulling a lot of pages out of, like, I even want to say almost like the Dr. Will playbook, like the second time he played, where she's doing the whole honesty thing. I think that a lot of people are expecting Omarosa. You know, she has this reputation of being like this villainess. And so I think that she's trying to go against that. You know, what's the best cards that she can play right now, especially this early in the game, you know, even though it is a short game. And I think that people are expecting her to be one way. And so the best thing she can do is the opposite. So she's going to be truthful, especially now when this, you know, the Shannon thing is starting to crumble. This girls alliance may completely crumble even by tonight. And so, you know, what Omarosa is doing is building up sort of ammunition. Like, yes, it's going to be outed that her and Keisha are like a tight two. But, you know, Omarosa can then say, like, well, I have this loyalty. I said this and it's true. I said I wouldn't vote for her. I wouldn't vote against her. And the other thing, too, is that there's been talk in the House about sort of the optics of people going against, you know, the African-Americans in the House. Right. Because Meta World Peace has talked about how he's with Keisha. Although the reason he's with her is because she's going to vote him out.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here.
It's really funny. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. But there, you know, there is talk about like, you know, what would it look like if the entire House turned against this small group of people? And I think Omarosa, more than maybe anyone else in the House, is very aware of how that's going to play and is willing to use that to her advantage. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, again, it wouldn't like I still have a very hard time reading Omarosa based on what everyone has told me. It feels like this a lot of this has to be very calculated, like talking about the president and then maybe even this stuff about a cultural bond. I don't know. But if it's not, I'm confused as to why she's so upfront about it with Shannon, because if I'm getting into Shannon's head right now, what I think happened here is Shannon went, OK, well, I want to work with Omarosa. I've been trying to work with Omarosa.
They were very tight
thing going
for the first several days.
And so from Shannon's point of view, she sees Keisha as getting in the way, the Frank to Omarosa's Boogie, and Shannon as Dan Gheesling, like, no, but I need to work with you, Boogie. Get rid of Frank. So Shannon now starts to feel like, I need to get rid of Keisha. Keisha is in the way of my long-term plans. She is pulling Omarosa away from me because of this bond that they share. So I need to start trying to plant seeds against Keisha. And that's exactly what she starts doing. Even in this conversation itself, Shannon starts to wonder, hey, do you think Keisha has a deal with Chuck? Do you think we need to be worried about that? And this is what's going to continue to affect the rest of the day and the rest of these plans. And so, you know, this sort of spirals out of control. But first, Omarosa talks to James, and this leads James into thinking, oh yeah, Omarosa's on my side. Yeah, for sure. For all of the things that are happening with this vote, and there's a potential flip that's going on, James is completely out of the loop and has no idea why anything is happening. And it's very, very humorous. So James at this point is like, okay, so I think Omarosa might be on my side. I think I've got Ross, probably Meta and Chuck. Or Meta and Mark, right. And he's completely off the mark.
Yeah, you know, I've been seeing whispers, or not even whispers, like, but full on shouts on Twitter about how people don't like James. People are calling him a D-bag and all these different things. But I am really enjoying what Mark is, or not Mark, James. I'm sorry, Mark. Everyone loves Mark, but James. And I wouldn't say that I like Mark or I love Mark or whatever. But I think he's bringing a lot to the season. He's been set up early sort of as the villain or the antithesis of what has so far been sort of the girls' alliance. And I love that he's sort of cluelessly blustering through this. There is a non-zero chance that he will be saved tonight. I don't know how, you know, slim that'll be. We can get into those weeds in a minute, but there's a non-zero chance that he may be saved tonight. And if that does indeed happen, it'll really be through no work of his own. It'll really ultimately be sort of like Omarosa and, you know, maybe a lot of what Brandy has been doing sort of later on last night. It'll have very little to do with James if he does get saved.
Yes, he does. He starts making the rounds and he's talking to Mark and he's like, I've got this plan. Okay. I don't want to tell you too much. I don't want to, you know, implicate you. If you know, the more you know, the more in danger you are, but it's a big plan and I've got something going. And Mark is like, okay, cool. And then he goes to Ross and he's like, I've got some votes. We can do this thing. And Ross is like, sure. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like the Emperor's New Clothes strategy where it's like James actually has nothing. He has no ammunition. He's kind of heard whispers maybe that there might be a possible flip, and he's going to take full credit for it. But it's almost like he's going around the house and just telling everyone he already has the votes. And he's just hoping that like the culture of the house will just start to believe that he has the votes. If enough people sort of think it's true, then I it may as well be true. That's sort of what his strategy is.
It really is. And later he has a conversation with Shannon where that really comes into play. But
he had a great conversation with Brandy too, where he was like, I think I'm gonna win this or whatever, and Brandy was like, listen, it's not, we came to you with this.
The women, most of the women talk about their plans for the double eviction. And at this point they're agreeing, James is going out tonight or tomorrow night, and then, Chuck should probably be next. And then, but what about Meta? What about Meta? Keisha in particular is like, I feel bad leaving Meta in the game. He wants to go home. But Omarosa says, are you kidding me? If it's up to me, I'm keeping Meta as long as possible. He doesn't want to be here. He is by far the most moldable person on that side. So we should be keeping Meta in the house.
Meta has been a real treat. I don't usually like people who want to quit or who seem like quitters. And, his little package on the show last night did not move me. I appreciate missing somebody. I understand that emotion, but it's been 4 or 5 days. Like the game's already a third over.
Have you never wanted to kiss somebody in like 20 different places and just like really needed to?
That's really for the Taran Show, John Krause interview part two. Meta has not quit yet. And he's added a lot of fun to the show, especially to the feeds. Last night, he was baking and reorganizing all the spices in the cupboards. And he was learning how to juggle. Like, he's just a lot of fun. And he's doing this crazy thing where he's telling everyone he wants to quit, but then he's choosing to align with people that are willing to vote him out. Keisha, like I kind of spilled the beans a few minutes ago, but Keisha and Meta are basically working together because Keisha has told Meta, if I'm HOH again, I will put you up and vote you out. And that's what Meta wants to hear. And he's mad at the people who don't want to get rid of him. But he's unwilling to just quit. Like, we can speculate behind the scenes, like maybe there's some sort of contract thing where if he quits, he doesn't get, whatever the deal is. But it's creating this really interesting gameplay where he's choosing to work with people that want to get rid of him. But because of that, those people, it's in their best interest to not get rid of him, because then he's a vote that they'll have. And if they get rid of him, they won't have that vote anymore.
Yeah, he has a conversation with Keisha where she basically promises, if I will do everything I can to help you leave this game. And he's like, thank you. And you know what? If I win HOH, I'll just do whatever you say, Keisha. He's willing to be her puppet if she will help him leave the game.
Which I almost hope it's almost like we forget that Keisha is actually technically currently the HOH now. She's not eligible to play in the next one, which Meta doesn't seem to realize either. So even if that deal does hold true, it's going to take at least, two rotations for that to come into place again.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The irony of this is that if you offer to be somebody's puppet for them in a game where having a puppet is very valuable,
right?
It disincentivizes them.
Right. There's no incentive
to what you want them to do.
Taran, I will be your puppet. I will do anything that you ever say as long as eventually you get rid of me.
Oh, okay.
Well, then you're going to hang on to me for as long as
possible.
I'll
definitely try to get rid of you as soon as possible after I do all of the plans and then win the game.
It's like if you're playing chess and you get one of the little pawns to the other end and it becomes like a second queen. And then you do that and you're like, all right, well, I'm going to sacrifice this queen immediately. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So Omarosa has a conversation with Keisha again. And this time she talks even more directly about Shannon. She says, look, Shannon came to me. She was questioning you. She was talking about you having a deal with Chuck. She was talking about, like, should we trust each other? What do you have some sort of deal with Keisha? And they both agreed, like, Shannon just doesn't understand that we have this cultural bond. Like, she'll never understand that. And they're starting to be really concerned about Shannon. Does she have final two deals with everyone? This is a dangerous player, Shannon. If she's starting to sort of like be aggressive toward us, then we need to start being worried about that. But for the most part, they're still pretty loyal to the All Women's Alliance. They want to keep that as far as possible. Which actually isn't necessarily in their advantage at this point, knowing what they know about Shannon, but we'll get to that later. Omarosa also is a little concerned about Ross. She thinks that he's a big time floater. And if she had the option, she would put him up as a replacement instead of somebody like Meta. She definitely would want Ross up on the block. She thinks he's a dangerous player. And then they both kind of agree. You know what? Let's try to work with Chuck. That's probably a good idea.
Right. Yeah. Chuck has actually put himself sort of, again, unwittingly into a pretty good position. People want to keep him and people want to use him. And in the non-zero chance that James stays and that Chuck goes, it'll be because of that. Like the discussion that has sort of bubbled up about whether or not people should flip and who wants to flip and who doesn't has to do with the fact that Keisha and Omarosa sort of want to bring Chuck in to their side. This is what's really interesting about this whole dynamic and what's making this season so fun, on top of the fact that we have 11 people in the house that want to play, even Meta in his weird meta game, is that it's so short. We don't really know what the best strategy is. You know, we're talking about a game that's already a one third over, even though no one's gone yet. Like, we know that there's going to be several double evictions. They're talking in the house about how there's going to be several double evictions. So at what point does the, you know, Ariadna is the only person who's like, a seven person alliance is not going to work for much longer. You know, we're talking about even if they're successful and they get rid of the other group before it's down to just those seven people of the women and Ross, that's like less than a week away when that will happen. So, you know, I agree with your assessment that like Shannon is overplaying and she's in trouble and like it's probably good for the women to start pulling in sort of side alliances. But we really don't know what the optimal gameplay is here. I mean, if we're talking about if we stretch this 2-3 week game out into a traditional Big Brother season, you know, this is kind of when the big alliance should start to break up. So, you know, who knows?
It's an interesting conundrum. So Shannon at this point has basically decided, you know, I'm really getting a bad feeling about Omarosa and Keisha. The fact that they are just so inseparable is not good for my game. I need to remove Keisha from this situation if possible. And also, especially if Keisha is working with Chuck, then you know what? I need to flip this vote. I need to get Chuck out of the game and pull James in. Right. So she starts to propose this plan. And at first it's not getting much reception. Ross is like, I don't know about this. Shannon has a long talk with James where she reveals to James, like, I'm trying to pitch things to save you. And he's like, oh, go to Omarosa. She'll help out. And she was like, I kind of already talked to Omarosa and she like attacked me for bringing it up. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, I've got like a whole bunch of people who are going to vote for me. So, you know, things are going pretty well. She's like, you do? Oh, that's great. Who are the people? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you.
Need to know basis.
I don't know if I should tell you all of the people that are definitely going to vote for me or that are receptive to my master plans. She's like, I'm trying to help you out here. Like, I got to give me something. Because every time I go to talk to somebody, they're like, no. And he's like, yeah, if you shake on it, maybe I'll tell you. And basically, he has no information to give her.
I'm telling you, Taryn, it's 2018. The world is crazy. Things are upside down. Truth and facts are meaningless, even more so in the Big Brother house. James, just by telling everyone that he's safe, that might be a viable strategy now. If you just make your own reality, you can accomplish great things, especially in the reality of the world that we all live now. So, like, who knows? James is probably fine. This might be the new best strategy. We might be talking about James being the best player of all time, just creating his own future.
In general, for future Big Brother players, the plan that the people have when they're on the block, where they're like, they pretend that they have votes in order to convince the people that are telling them, oh, well, I'll vote your way if you have the votes, that never has worked. It never will work. Right. If somebody comes to you saying that they're willing to help you out, abandon that plan immediately and work with whatever they're giving you, because that's much more likely to work than your other thing.
All joking aside, you know, the way that Big Brother works, these games work, is trust and information. And if you act openly, like you have more information than other people, that will make them not trust you. And if you're already in a show like Big Brother, where you're on the block and you're already at a disadvantage, acting like you know more than other people and that you don't need their help is not a way to build trust or to, you know, keep the information flowing in an advantageous way.
Right. So ultimately, she gets the information out of him. They have this long conversation. She says, look, we got to make this happen. She ends up revealing a lot of information to James. She says, look, it's, you know, Keisha and Omarosa on this side and Meta is with them. And then it's basically these five. It's Ross, Brandy, Ari, myself. I forget the fifth person.
Well, Mark went from sort of irrelevant. People have called him a flip flopper, which is kind of funny because it's true, but also like there hasn't really been a vote yet. But Mark is a person who kind of through this James vote flip thing has accidentally positioned himself in what could be a potentially good situation. Like he's kind of working with this new possible alliance if the girls do end up fracturing. Like,
yes. So. She essentially tells James a lot of information that could really get her in trouble if he decides to reveal it. He probably won't, though. He probably won't recognize, even if he ends up going home, he probably won't recognize that maybe, you know, he has the opportunity to reveal that information. But at this point, Shannon is all in on this plan. She is like all aboard the Save James train. And after she leaves the room, James... who had absolutely nothing to do with this, 100% nothing to do with this. It was entirely about Shannon, Omarosa, and Keisha, and a little bit of Chuck. Right. After Shannon leaves, he like smiles, laughs to himself, and is like, what was his exact words? It was something along the lines of like, I've been working for days to get this spark to happen. Like, what are you talking about? This had nothing to do with anything that you were doing. If anything, some of the things that you were doing potentially have been working against you. You are a crazy person.
Yeah, again, creating his own reality. Like, yeah, if the vote flip does happen and he does end up staying, it'll be through no fault of his own. And in a lot of ways, if it doesn't happen, it'll be because of what he's doing. Like, we're talking about, again, Brandy and Ariadne, people are calling her Ari in the house. Like, they're people who might end up working to save James, but like every time James opens his mouth, like Brandy hates him even more. Like it reminds her that she doesn't like him. So, you know, this is one of those instances where his best strategy probably at this point is to not do anything, not say anything, you know, or if he actively wants to do something, just work on making himself more likable, like build the relationships. Like no game talk from him would help him more than anything.
Yeah, well, because basically what happened is he went to Shannon expecting her to turn him down, like expecting Shannon. Of course, Shannon is against you. She's like the person that's most against me. And so after she leaves, after like coming up with a plan to save him, he was like, "What? Well, that's a twist. A twist I've been working on for days. Like, you lunatic. And you know what's annoying about it? They're absolutely going to edit this into a James mastermind thing if he ends up staying. 100%. They're going to show that clip. They're going to play dramatic music. They're going to show him in the diary room pretending that he knows what's happening, pretending that he's pulling the strings here. And it's going to work because he's a good narrator. And that's a little bit annoying and also a little bit amusing.
No, I love it. I think it's really funny. Again, I don't necessarily love James as like a person, but I think he's bringing so much as a character to the show. He's a great foil to sort of the other girls. And I love the bumbling, clueless confidence. Like I know, you know, a lot of people are turned off by like arrogance or whatever, but it's because there's absolutely nothing behind it. But he's just so confident that like he's doing all these really things. I think it's funny. And I, you know, people don't like necessarily when the show edits against reality. But in some ways, it's almost like an Easter egg. If you are someone who watches the live feeds or you listen to these podcasts, like if they do that on the show tonight, like all of the listeners to this show right now that we're doing, it's going to be like a little Easter egg to them. Like, haha, it's like dramatic irony or something.
Yes. Shannon again tries to pitch to people. We should keep James. James talks to Ross. There's a lot of pitching going on. Ross ends up talking to Mark and does some very good work with Mark, telling him, you know, actually Omarosa and Keisha wanted to put you on the block. They wanted Shannon to use the veto on Chuck and put you up there. And Mark, who is glad to accept any kind of people wanting to work with him, was very happy to hear Ross talk to him. Mark is down to go with whatever plan because he just wants to be pulled in, and Ross is doing the early work on Mark here. So there's a lot of debate Shannon is pushing hard to keep James to flip this vote against Keisha, Omarosa, and Meta. And this is where what you were talking about, the optics, kind of came into play, because there was there's debate going back and forth. And then it seemed to me like one of the real turning points in this debate was, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Marissa, recognized, wait a minute, guys, hold on. What we're talking about is the 7 white people in the house flipping and going against the 3 black people in the house. And yeah, that is not that's not a good look. Well, I don't think we can do that. I don't think that's a thing that can happen. And Ross immediately was like, oh my God, I hadn't thought of that, but you're completely right. Like, the fact that can't happen. I'm sorry, Shannon, the optics are just not good. We can't do this. And
it's one of those things where, you know, these are all people that are kind of to some degree known personalities or whatever. I think that if you want to go against Omarosa in the house, it's likely not because of, you know, her skin color. However, you know, we say all the time that perception is reality in the Big Brother house, more so than in the real world. And so, like, now that someone in the house has brought that up, now that is a factor. And so now that does sort of muddy those waters a little bit, because now people have talked about it. And so now it is reality. Now it is, you know, the 3 black people against the other people. And that does look bad now that people are talking about it that way. Another thing, and I think, go ahead.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I talked a little bit about how, like, I think perception will play a larger role in, or public perception will play a larger role in this season because these people are celebrities. And it really is. Between, you know, the Trump stuff and now this race stuff going on. I mean, like, Omarosa is, you know, blatantly talking about, like, I'm working with these people in part because of their race. And then you have this other side going like, well, we can't band against them because of our race. And there's a lot of just like, it doesn't matter what our intentions are, because if you watch the edited show, or if you watch the show at all, and you just see the 7 white people versus, you know, everyone else, it's just gonna, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just gonna look terrible. And I think it's playing a huge role in their decision to potentially not flip this vote, especially for Marissa and Ross. And yeah, I think it's very interesting. Like, there's an entire other layer going on here that never would have come up in a regular season of Big Brother, because when it's told to Shannon, she also goes, oh my God, I hadn't thought about that, but I can't play my game according to optics. I have to play my game. And that's 100% what a new player, an unknown cast would do. But these people they have public images that they need to protect. They legitimately can't be doing something that will work against their career. This is a 3-week game. So there's a lot of meta strategy happening here.
Meta with 1T. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, there's only going to be 1 winner. And depending on whether they do a final 2 or a final 3, like, everyone else is going to get voted off. So if you are Shannon, if you are Ross, if you are Marissa, then you want to vote out all of the other people, regardless of you know, their skin color. But the way that you do it, the order that you do it, does matter, especially because of what you're saying. And I think that one of the huge differences, you know, I'm the first person to joke about how these people may or may not actually be celebrities. And we can talk about how, like, some of them have fewer followers on Twitter than previous Big Brother players. But the reality is that these people are people who have worked in the industry, in the entertainment industry, for a long time. And so even if they maybe currently aren't on the top of their game, they are people who have made a career out of working with PR, and, like, they just see the world differently, like, more so than whatever Derek, Dr. Will, whoever, you know, they're thinking about, how does this look? How will this affect my career? You know, people like James, before going into the house, were blatantly clear, people like Keisha, that they're doing this because they want to push their own merchandise, their own product. And, like, if you, you know, just through the way that the game falls, if you become the one who voted out all the black people on the show, like, that's going to hurt whatever product line you're trying to push. And so it has become a very, you know, interesting factor in the game, for sure.
Yeah, and really driving some of the gameplay here. So where it currently stands is that Ariadna, who I think had been kind of inclined toward saving James even before all this mess happened, because she had been talking previously about, like, you know, ever since James was not in power, he's been acting a little more humble. I'm liking him a little more. But other people have been like, yeah, but the plan is set. But now that there's an option to potentially save him, she seems to be pretty on board with it. She seems to be pretty down with this idea of like, yeah, maybe we should save James. And I think part of it is that they are the only two people like in their 20s in the house. And, you know, it would be beneficial for her to have some other young person in there with her. But I think she also just kind of in general likes him. And that's helping him with her. Brandy, on the other hand, hates him. And so she's a bit more on the fence. Ross has gone back and forth. Basically, when the optics argument was brought up, he was like, there's no way we can do this. I think for the most part, he's still not on board. Again, this has gone back and forth a lot over the course of the night. Ultimately, I think Ross spoilers, they haven't made a decision.
They agree to sleep on it.
We don't know where this is going to end up. I think Ross is leaning toward, let's take James out, and then we'll take Chuck out next time, and then we'll turn on, whoever we need to turn on. Ross is on board with trusting Shannon over Omarosa. He's on board with, turning against Omarosa and Keisha, but he doesn't want it to happen now. The optics aren't good. And he also feels like it's not worth betraying them. It's not worth shaking up the house in order to rearrange an alliance. And they'll still just have seven people versus three people, which is exactly what it would be if they didn't flip the house. So I think Ross, for the most part, is not with this. Marissa is 100% against this. She said, I'm not doing this. I think this is a bad idea. When James came to talk to them, he didn't even speak a word to her. He said, I'm excited to work with Shannon. And Marissa's just like, the optics aren't good. And James is not inspiring confidence. As you mentioned, John, when James came to talk to Brandy and Ariadna and Marissa, he was like, I've got this covered, guys. I've got these votes. And Brandy was like, what are you talking? You had nothing to do with this. Why are you talking like you came up with this plan? He's like, I've been working on this for days. Okay. I know what I'm doing. And she's like, Shannon came to you. What are you saying? You're acting like an idiot.
Yeah. James has got a little bit of a Jose thing going on where he's like scenarios. You know, it's really funny. There's a couple of things you mentioned that I want to touch on that I think are important here. Number one, I do think there are good reasons, no matter who you are in the house, to keep James. Especially like if you are Brandy, even if you hate James, he's the obvious target. He's the obvious iteration of like, we can get him later. And it keeps the target off of your back because James is such an obvious person to get rid of now. If you get rid of Chuck and James is still in the house, then it's easy to push that heat onto James in the future. So there are reasons to keep James versus getting rid of him, really, no matter who you are in the house. That being said, I do think that there's, I think if I had to make a prediction, because it is up in the air, they did agree to sleep on it. There are, I think if I had to put my chips on a horse in this confined scheming horse race, I would say that I think James is going to go because, like we said, number one, there's, I just lost my train of thought. In addition to like the whole thing about flipping and not flipping, like there is the optics of the thing, right? Like that is a big part of it. We've talked about that a lot, but there is also the fact that I think Ari was the one who actually brought this up, that it's just flipping for the sake of flipping in terms of the majority. If they don't flip and if they do get rid of James, it's 7-3. If they do flip and get rid of Chuck, it's still 7-3, but then they pissed off different people. So you've brought in new people that maybe they aren't super well aligned with you because that's like a newer, shakier thing. And then you've pissed off those people. So you're not actually gaining any numbers advantage here. And if you're talking about like who's going to be better in the comps, James and Chuck are both like, James beat Chuck in both comps as far as we know. He did a better job. So like it doesn't come down to that at all. And then the other thing too, and I think Ross really has the key here to sort of get around those optics, is that like Ross has been like, if we do, flip this, it's because if we want to be against Omarosa. Like he has said to other people, like we want it to say this is a move against Omarosa. So whether or not they do flip, I think that that's sort of the way to get through the optics of the situation, because I think everyone can unite against the idea that like Omarosa is a threat.
Yes. One of the things that's been pointed out by Ross and Marissa, like, you're really shaking up the house and it's really benefiting Shannon more than anyone else, because Shannon is the one that's in danger, under the current structure of the house. Like Chuck wins, he's going to go after Shannon. And that's why she wants Chuck out and James in. Right. So they're like, well, we're protecting Shannon. We trust Shannon. We like Shannon. We want to work with Shannon. But are we really willing to shake up the house so much, put ourselves in danger just to save her?
Yeah, she's the only one who it really, really, really helps to, exactly. to get rid of Chuck.
And I've got to say, I kind of agree. I feel like it's probably not in their best interest to do this. Mark will work with them regardless of what they do. Mark wants to keep James, but if they tell Mark, sorry, we can't do it, he's got nowhere else to turn. He's still going to work with them. The only dangerous thing is that Chuck might work with, Keisha and Omarosa, but that's only three people that are really trying. If Meta is really working with them, then that's kind of dangerous, but he's not really trying in the game. And I don't think Chuck
is. He still might quit for all we know.
Yeah. And I don't think Chuck is firmly with Keisha and Omarosa. They certainly have a good relationship, but he also, like, if Mark was like, dude, come over here, I think Chuck would be like, oh, really? Okay. I'll, yeah, sure. So I do feel like it's probably in the best interest of the majority of those people to actually stick with the plan and get rid of James. But Shannon has been pushing her agenda hard, and it's been kind of working. Really, James is one of the reasons why it might not work. The aforementioned cockiness, just like pretending that he it's his move. It's really Brandy was doing her best Kendrick Lamar impression. Like, be humble, dude. You gotta be humble here. And he just doesn't have it in him. So if this doesn't work, I think there are a couple things to blame. It'll mostly be, I think, optics plus James equals James goes home. No flip happens. And I feel like that's the most likely outcome here. I agree with you. I think that, you know, Ari wants it to happen. Shannon wants it to happen. Marissa doesn't want it to happen. Mark wants it to happen. Something, I think more people want it to happen than not, but I think that Ross and Marissa, if they both don't want it to happen, it's just not going to happen. And Brandy certainly could make it happen if she wanted to, but I don't think she would go against them. I really feel like this probably is not happening. Another interesting tidbit here is that Shannon is doing all of this with the intention of wanting to pull Omarosa back in. And Ross is doing this potentially because Ross has essentially taken this as an opportunity to say, okay, this is an all-women's alliance. I am the bottom of this totem pole here. This is a great crack in this alliance. Here's my chance to take a shot at Omarosa and form my own thing with Mark and with Marissa and Shannon here, and I'm in the center of it. Ross is playing very well, and he has sneakily taken advantage of what Shannon is doing and turned it around and said, oh, no, Mark, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a shot at Omarosa. Shannon has been pushing, we need to get rid of Keisha. We need to get rid of Keisha. She's the big threat. And that's because Shannon, again, going back to that early morning conversation, she feels like Keisha is the danger to her game, the one that's pulling Omarosa away from her. Shannon feels like if we can take Keisha out of the way, then Omarosa doesn't have that obligation to her. Omarosa is now tight with me, and I am in the center of things. Ross correctly is recognizing, okay, from my perspective, if I take out Omarosa, then I am in the center of things, and I am in control of things. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, regardless of who goes home tonight. What will happen if there's a war between, not only between Omarosa, Keisha, and the rest of them, but if the rest of them get power, who will be targeted, Omarosa or Keisha? Because then it will be a battle, an infight between Shannon and Ross. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics happening here. Very excited to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, well, we mentioned it, or you guys mentioned it on the last podcast, but it was officially confirmed that Shannon can play in the HOH again, because she wasn't officially the HOH this time. Keisha was. And we know Shannon, she's going to want to go for it. Like, Shannon is, like, technically won all of the competitions that they've actually had so far the entire season. And I think that Ross, like, he has said before the show even started, he wanted to play this like Andy. And he's not necessarily doing it to that level, but I think he is doing a really, really good job of being the go-between. The only person who's really called Ross out so far is Omarosa, which is why, you know, it's very smart of Ross to want to get rid of her. And in addition to, you know, eliminating that threat, it will put him sort of in the center. The guys know that Ross is kind of with the girls, but they still like Ross. Like, Ross is liked sort of throughout the house. And he's doing a great job of of sharing that information. Like you said earlier, when he told Mark, like, oh, by the way, Omarosa wanted to put you up, which is true. And so he's doing lots of the good, you know, disseminating of information that makes him sort of important. People are going to rely on him for information. So it will be interesting, because I think that Ross is trying to pull those strings and he's going to want Omarosa out. But I don't think that he wants to, you know, Ross isn't going to try to win the HOH. Ross is not going to want to play from the front to get Omarosa out. Whereas Shannon wants to win that HOH. So like there's a chance that she could win. And then like, you know, how will Ross try to get Shannon to play against her own, you know, self-interest? So there's a lot of interest going into tonight.
Yes, a lot of things to pay attention to. Obviously, we don't know where this vote is going to end up. We may never know until the eviction actually happens, until it actually airs. We don't know when the feeds will go down. We don't know if we'll see this decision made on the feeds. So we may have a surprise eviction headed our way. And then this HOH is going to be huge. I mean, there could be all kinds of different ways that this can go. They could go after, if Chuck stays, they could be going after Chuck. If regardless of who stays or who goes, they could be going after Omarosa, or they could be going after Keisha, or they could be going after Shannon. Because if Omarosa and Keisha get wind of what Shannon tried to pull off, she could be the scapegoat of the whole plan. And then all of a sudden Shannon is on the block. There's a lot of different possibilities that can happen with tonight's HOH. Lots of interesting things happening. So make sure you tune in tonight, watch the 2-hour episode, and then, I will be on, to recap the episode and talk about all of the potential things that are happening and going on, and it'll be lots of fun. So make sure you tune in for that. So I think that's all we've got for you. I mean, it's a lot, but I think that's all.
I gotta say, I just want to reiterate one more time that I am so happy to, I've never been more wrong about a season of Big Brother. I've never been more wrong in any of my predictions. I think that every prediction I made has been completely wrong. Like, I thought that there'd be no gameplay this season because everyone was just going to be on there to shill their spice line. You know, I thought that Omarosa was going to be sort of a dud. Everyone was predicting that Keisha was going to be a dud. And to some degree, that's kind of true. But she is like at the center of a lot of this. A lot of people, including myself, were predicting that Keisha was going to go far because no one was going to care. Like, who's going to waste an HOH on her? But now, like, she's one of the prime targets for one of the prime movers in the house. Every single prediction that I made and that I saw other people make about this season has been completely wrong, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Yes. Lots up in the air. Hopefully tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, it will be a Saturday and Liana will be joining me. We'll be able to give a little bit of a firmer view of the lay of the land here. Things will hopefully have settled a little bit. I don't want them to settle too much, but we'll have a little bit of a more solid view of where people stand and what will be happening in the future. But very exciting time in this Big Brother game. And it really goes to show, you know, they had a whole week here. It's not even the accelerated format that's helping them here. It's really just natural, good old Big Brother. Twists aren't even part of what's happening here. It's just good Big Brother happening, good casting, and really enjoying it. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you check out The Taran Show. Go to robhaswebsite.com. Go to subscribe to the reality TV wrap-ups. Go to the Big Brother feed on iTunes. Lots and lots of places to go. This was a bit of a longer one. Sorry about that, but there was lots to talk about. So we'll see you next time.
Bye.